This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Steve Rehnquist from the Oregon State University Extension Service with us. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Hey, I'd love to.
You know, I was thinking earlier about the history of extension. How far back does that go?
Well, you know, and if you really want to take the all the way back, Abraham Lincoln and in the 1865, they established the land-grant universities. And then the true extension people came through in the early 1900s when they established a division of the Department of Agriculture and created the Extension Service. And that was, I think that was like 1909 or 1910. And then from there, each individual state started establishing their offices and their locations. And Oregon was, I believe, right, 1917, 1918, right
wow.
in there. Yeah.
Well, I was remembering because the first time I lived in Roseburg and we left when I was five, I was thinking about this interview and it dawned on me that though I don't remember a lot about being five in Roseburg, I do remember my mom talking about some class she'd taken through the Extension Service.
Yeah.
And because she did canning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, times were tight and we were a single income family and all of that. And so she was looking for, you know, ideas for cooking and different things. And apparently had some level of involvement. And that was clear back in, well, I won't tell you what decade, but a long time ago.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because from about the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, the extension really focused on just strictly agriculture. And then the home, home canning, home ec kind of things. And it was really not until probably the 1970s and 80s where they started to diversify a little more when larger portions of the population of the U.S. weren't involved in agriculture. And now we're at the point where 2% of the people in the United States are actually farmers. And then we probably have about another 10% of the population that works to support agriculture, you know, the chemical people and, you know, seed sales and seed growers and, you know, all of the suppliers of a product. So it's really changed dramatically. And recently you see it in the 4-H programs that come out. Now they've got lots of technology that they're focusing on. And even the agricultural side, they're up in Portland, for example, trying to work with people on urban gardening or urban establishment and saving pollinators, you know, the bees and insects, you know, within the urban community.
Wow. Well, and, you know, even if you are having, you know, a small rural farm in this area, there is so much technology involved. I mean, even some of the tractors and different things.
Yeah.
And in fact, I am told periodically, though I've not been on one in since I was a kid, that some of the newer ones, I mean, I know that there are at least a few farmers and wine growers that listen to this station on their tractor, you know, and you know, I don't think when I was a kid, I don't think having a radio and a tractor or a way to play music or news or information was out there. And I mean, even air conditioning and different things like that. So there's so many elements. And of course, there's a back and forth between the, you know, big ag and the small family farm and all that. And that's kind of a topic for a different time. But for people in this area, whether they're involved in agriculture or a lot of the other things that you just mentioned, including for kids, the technology areas, I mean, there's still a lot going on with the Extension Service. How many people do you have working in the Roseburg office these days?
Well, we have about 10 people in our office, and there's an ag extension person, that's me, and then Shelby, Philly, is the livestock person, so technically she's ag too. And then we have a forestry agent, and we have a person working in 4-H. Then we have a lot of support people that are two or three people up in the front office, and then we link with the federal people and do nutrition programs. So they have a number of those going around in the county. I think there might be five or six people working nutrition programs.
Well, and a number of years ago, I think it was during the recession, there were some cuts along the way, and people were even wondering if the OSU Extension Service was going to go away at some point.
Yeah.
Things get refocused. Here there is some funding locally to help with some
absolutely.
Of that, too.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the local funding was just marvelous. It was just wonderful. Taxpayers of Douglas County stepped up, and that was, I think, 2008. It was kind of a tough market time, even. And the what they do is they take a portion of our necessary funding, and it comes out of the county funds, and those are the funds that support our staff, our people in the front office, the support staff. They don't support the agents at all, the four of us that are considered agents. And so that funding comes from Oregon State University, and it's also taxpayer money, but it comes from the state level. And so really our local office itself, the cost to keep the office open, and then the three people that are up in front and managing those, the paperwork and all the accounting and everything, that's being provided by local people here. So it's great.
This time of year, sometimes when you think about some of the things you do, right now people are just beginning to think ahead towards spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I was out walking for a while, and it was sunny then. Apparently I'm not going to be walking today if it doesn't get above 36. I could, even as I was going around town, even seeing some people in yards, you know, kind of starting to prep things or get ready, and not just for growing, you know, gardens, but just their landscaping in general, doing some things like that. So during the balance of the winter time, what kind of things do you have going on class-wise?
Yeah, we probably, for all these homeowners that really do like to do landscaping and vegetable gardening and maybe raise some tree fruit, we've got a really nice winter program that we try to have every winter, and it's called Spring Into Gardening. It's educational programming, and in this year we're moving from our previous location over to Phoenix School. And Phoenix School is providing a nice local, close thing to our extension office, close location, and lots of room, etc. And we'll be teaching these in kind of sessions, and there'll be four sessions in this day, and that'll be February 29th. So we're on Leap Day and Leap Year Day, and it'll run from 8:30 to 4 p.m. So what we do is about an hour and a half in each of four sessions, and you can come in and there'll be three classes offered, and people will look at that and say, well, I want to take that one, you know. And so, for example, in the first session, if you love growing dahlias or peppers or working with garden tools, you know, you'd choose one. And session two, that'd be vegetable gardening or fruit tree care and maybe some landscaping to be safe in the fire zone. And so the afternoon, you'd have three more and three more, and you just choose one of those. So four classes, and it'd be $25 if you wanted to go there. And feel free to show up on that day. We do prefer to have people try to sign up in advance. Just come by our office and sign up in advance. That'd be better.
So, and $25 for the whole day?
For the whole day.
Wow.
And then you get at lunch, we just take a break, and the master gardeners usually provide a nice little little snack area there for people and bring, you know, cookies and donuts or whatever people like. And then, but we'd encourage people that are coming there, if you want to do a lunch, you know, bring a little sack lunch, and we'll have an area set up like a cafeteria for people. So should be a real nice day. We cover most of the presentations by master gardeners or myself, but we have a few guest speakers coming in from another county.
And you're able, with this method, for people to come and sort of customize what they need to learn themselves, what they want to learn, versus maybe sitting through a presentation that went from topic to topic and maybe part of it you were it mm-hmm. didn't really pertain to you as much.
Yeah, or maybe you get a great presenter, but they're talking about a part of the country, or maybe California, or even northern Oregon, that's not pertinent really to our local climate and conditions. So the beauty of these programs is you bring in your questions, and we've got people in each of these classes that'll present, but they'll also answer your questions.
Going to take a break, talk more with Steve Rehnquist from the Oregon State University Extension Service on Inside Douglas County. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, live from Salem, we'll be talking to State Representative Cedric Hayden as we continue to monitor the short legislative session underway. Later today, True Wealth, David Littlejohn and Kitty Shook, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And Steve Rehnquist from the Oregon State University Extension Service talking about some of the things the Extension Service does. Now, this February 29th event, that's a Saturday, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that'll be at Phoenix School. You mentioned people stopping by to sign up. Maybe some people don't know where you're located.
Yeah. Well, we're right next to the courthouse downtown and the Extension building. It has big old OSU Extension signs on the side of it. It's like the old freestanding church building that's in the parking area to the east side of the courthouse.
And along with that event on the 29th, what else do you have coming up?
Well, we've got a couple things coming up. One is for people that like to do either pruning or grafting, we'd invite you to join us. We out at our River Forks Park Master Gardener Garden on March 24th, we're going to show people in our Japanese garden how to take care of plants in a Japanese garden style. And so I'll be leading that, and we'll be pruning, working with Japanese maples and a number of other plants that are really great in that setting. And then on March 28th, we're going to have a grafting class at the OSU Extension office, and that's grafting fruit trees, and I'll show people how to graft them. And we'll actually make some. I've ordered a bunch of rootstock, and we've got Scion wood that we'll graft onto those. So those types of classes are both hands-on. You come out and we'll be pruning or doing the grafting. And
so just yep. because somebody is, most people may know, but some people probably don't, what is grafting?
Well, grafting is when you decide that you want a different variety of plant on the top of the plant usually, and you would grow a rootstock, something that would be the base of the plant, and you'd grow that for one reason, like hardiness or disease resistance. And then you would take, let's say, an apple variety that you really like, and your plant, and you're going to vegetatively, you're making a little cutting. And so you're going to join two pieces of wood, and they call that asexual propagation, so that there's no crossing or no pollen or anything exchange. And then I'll demonstrate how to kind of wrap that and secure that asexual graft, and kind of a fun day, kind of a fun thing to practice at home. For example, you can graft, you can learn to graft not only fruit trees, but you can graft things like, gosh, I don't know, Japanese maples. You know, that would be one. Another thing is they've got different types of grafting now, where they graft tomatoes, of all things. Mm. So they'll have really resistant rootstock to some diseases, and then they'll take your favorite variety of tomato and do a little green vegetative graft where you join the stems of those things. So lots of real interesting kind of things you can do with.
Well, and people, you know, around here love to plant, love to do gardening. I have never been successful at it. I've failed multiple times, and even when my wife has been successful, usually I've messed it up somehow, because I think the last big debacle was She had been working on hanging tomato basket a few years ago, when especially when those were kind of the rage. And but then she went on a trip, and she was in the Washington, D.C. area for a week, and it was during the fair, and I never went outside all week and didn't water them, and it was the hottest week of the summer. And so I think some people have probably given up on me having any ability to do this. But yet a lot of people, even if you know you're later in life and maybe you've got more time, want to give it another shot.
Oh, absolutely. It's really fun. And like you say, you know, you'll have those go-go years that you're running around a lot and you can't really do a lot of gardening. And as you get into your retirement years and maybe you got a little more free time, there's always lots of good things you can be practicing and playing with. And so that's one really strong reason for joining the Master Gardener program. Not only are you interacting with lots of people in the public, but and getting to make a lot of new friends, but you're getting introduced to a lot of neat kind of concepts, and at one of those concepts might end up being one of your favorite hobbies, like raising bonsai trees, or you know, grafting vegetables, or grafting fruit trees, you know, that sort of thing.
Now, the Master Gardener program, you started in January, and you're about halfway through that for the year, right?
That's right, yeah. So this year, it'd be a little late for anybody to sign up, but you can go in. I think we already have something like 15 people signed up for next year's class, and that sign-up will be, technically, that sign-up can be any time, but the official one will be in about late August or early September.
One of the things I like about the way you structure the program is you help people learn these things, but then part of it is sort of paying it forward and teaching them so that they can help others.
Yeah, absolutely. And that we get volunteer time. We ask that people that join the program will go through the educational side and then do a little volunteering. And we ask them to do 60 hours during the course of the balance of the year. And it's in this time where I'm convinced where you really get your skills. That's where you're applying everything that we've been discussing in the program. So it's a really, not only is it a good in-class program, but then we have a lot of application time where you learn out at our greenhouses how to do the propagation or working to raise plants, seeding things. So really a good hands-on.
Now, looking ahead a little bit in your schedule, seems like you normally do something in conjunction with Arbor Day.
Yeah, we do. And this year is interesting because we have a Japanese garden. And we received a tree from that is a seedling that came from the surviving ginkgo trees from the atomic bomb blast at Hiroshima. And so they call these peace trees. So a lot of the Japanese people started sending these trees all around the world. And there's a group in Oregon here that started to receive the seeds and grow them out. So they worked with the Oregon Department of Ag. And so I got our tree recently, and we're going to put that into the Japanese garden. And we have a nice sign and plaque already made. And then we're going to have an official ceremony. And we decided that's a great time would be Arbor Day. And so we're kind of excited about it. And that'll be, April 24th. And it's kind of funny. So we said to ourselves, now how are we going to remember this day? And we said, well, it's February. So it's 2/20 on the 20th of February. We're going to have, we planted. And then 2020. And we're going to plant that tree at 2 p.m. And so we've got all twos across the board there. But we're going to plant the tree ahead of time because it's best for the tree to get in the ground early. And then we'll have this ceremony where we're going to invite people from the Sister City group, our Shobu Sister City group, and others. We've got a couple other. I think they're going to be planting these trees also, one of these trees at UCC. And I think there's another one at one of the cemeteries around here. It's old something. I can't remember now the name of the cemetery. It's Old Fellows or Odd Fellows?
Oh, Odd Fellows. That's probably the one off right by Douglas Avenue.
Yeah, that's right. That's one. So there are going to be some other peace trees here too. But if you've never seen a ginkgo, they're beautiful trees, you know, big golden, beautiful leaves on them, you know, gorgeous tree.
And if people want to find out more about what's going on with the OSU Extension Service, how do they contact you?
Yeah, they just call our office at 541-672-4461.
All right, Steve Rehnquist from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.